Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you want to know a surprising fact about me? Simon Miller here over on What Culture Wrestling. I once defeated Brock Lesnar. I mean, I was dreaming, I was asleep, and I was also at WrestleMania, and I became the champion. But a win is a win, my friends, and I'm claiming it. Back in the real world, though, there are a bunch of wrestlers who actually did defeat Brock Lesnar to the point when I tell you their names, you will be like, shut up, you bald asshole. There's no way that's true. But actually, it is. So sit down and prepare yourself because, yes, here are 10 wrestlers who you ain't ever gonna believe defeated the Beast. Number 10, Billy Gunn. When Brock Lesnar was just a rookie, he was placed with a lot of the mid-card talent within WWE to try and get his experience up to scratch. And way back in the early days, two of these people were indeed the New Age Outlaws. So in 2001, when the Beast was brought on the road so that management could take a better look at him, he was in dark matches on the likes of Heat and Jacked. And yeah, he took on the one Billy Gunn, and the ass man actually beat him. This happened again when Gunn was teaming with Chuck Palumbo, when that pairing would beat Brock Lesnar as he teamed up with Hugh Morris and Ron Waterman. And throughout all of that, Brock never had his hand raised. Now, that did change in 2004, when Lesnar was an established star, because you may remember on one episode of SmackDown, he basically murdered Billy Gunn. I don't think he forgot. Number 9, Stevie Richards and Tommy Dreamer. Another untelevised match, but still, a win is a win, and a loss is a loss. But when Brock Lesnar and none other than Randy Orton were toiling away at OVW, once again they were brought up to the main roster so somebody could look at them. They were teamed against Stevie Richards and Tommy Dreamer, and kind of incredibly, the former ECW alumni won. This must have been their biggest WWE victory ever. It's so weird seeing Orton and Lesnar team together to begin with, especially because they look like children. And also, this love-in didn't last very long. When Brock was on the main roster in 2002, he F5'd Randy in around about 37 seconds. Dreamer versus Lesnar would also be a regular house show matchup, but by that point, Brock was winning all of them. Even when they were on TV for real and Tommy Dreamer had weapons, Brock still literally ate him alive. Obviously not literally. Number 8, Kanyon. Chris Kanyon was an underrated gem. The sheer length of his inspiration and talent sadly only came out when he did tragically pass away. But nearly everybody who came into contact with him in the wrestling industry went, oh man, Kanyon is the best. After WCW was finished, WWE did pick up Kanyon, and he had an okay run there. I mean, he was the WCW United States champion, and he was a tag team champion alongside DDP. And when the invasion angle came to an end, he found a new role, mostly helping new talent. One of these people was indeed Brock Lesnar, and they had loads of matches on the house show circuits, which Brock Lesnar mostly won. But then in October 2001, when they clashed for the last time, somehow, Kanyon had his hand raised. The plan actually may have been to do more of these as well, but sadly, Kanyon got injured soon afterwards. But once again, a win is a win. We ain't taking it away from him. Number 7, Albert. The 20th of November 2001, Sunday Night Heat, Brock Lesnar versus Albert. And who do you think won? Already know because you know the title of the video, but that's right, it was indeed Albert. You can find this one online now should you so fancy, but you still may be surprised when Albert hit his chokeslam bomb thing onto Lesnar and gets the 1-2-3, but maybe, just maybe, WWE officials knew they had something in Albert, given that now he's the head trainer down in NXT. So maybe he taught Brock Lesnar a thing or two. This continued as well when Albert and Scotty Too Hotty teamed up to take on Ron Waterman and Brock Lesnar a few months before Lesnar did make his big debut. But once again then, nobody was giving Brock anything, and he lost. We soon forgot about this though, because the leash was let off Lesnar, and when he was on TV, he would often destroy Albert. But this wasn't the last time they met, because they actually cast in New Japan for the IWGP Championship, which was the first time in years two Americans had fought over their honor. Number 6, Lance Storm. Lance Storm could and should have been used better in WWE. I mean, often thrown into comedy angles, and at one point called boring, even though he wasn't boring, he is one of the best technical professional wrestlers ever. In 2002, though, when everything was calming down with the Alliance and the Invasion, Lance Storm was paired with Brock Lesnar on the house show circuit to get him good and ready for TV. They worked 3 nights in a row during a house show loop, and even though Lance Storm got victory in the first 2, when it came to match number 3, Lesnar got the victory. Storm has talked about this too and said that even though Brock Lesnar was so green, he was picking things up like crazy, and that he was like a sponge, in the sense you could teach him something, and then 8 seconds later he had it down. The only other thing he did note was that Lesnar was freakishly strong, and yet at no point, again despite his inexperience, did he hurt Lance at all. I would have enjoyed a proper feud between these two as well, given that a lot of Brock Lesnar's best matches have been against smaller guys. Maybe one day, again in my dreams, this will happen. It's not going to happen. Number 5, Spike Dudley. Spike Dudley knew how to make the most out of his size despite being in the land of the giants, because he was a European champion, he was a hardcore champion, he was a cruiserweight champion, and he was just a lovable underdog. It just worked. It was during a dark match in February 2002 when Brock Lesnar, who we know is massive, team with Batista, who we know is massive, to lose to Spike Dudley and his partner Taz. Now, these guys were the tag team champions at the time, but still, who would ever have thunk this? Lesnar got his week back a week before he did debut, where he basically absolutely squashed Spike Dudley. And if you remember, when he made his debut proper, who was one of the people he powerbombed around about 72,000 times? That's right, it was Spike. Just to underline how crazy he was too, Spike in an interview admitted that at one time, for a rib, he had, his words, not mine, bitch slap Lesnar around just to see what he was gonna do. And if now we've been saying Brock then killed Spike Dudley, it wouldn't have been too much of a surprise. Before Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect and Brock Lesnar were very good friends. Brock has said very openly that when Kurt Hennig did pass away in 2003, it affected him greatly, and they shared a love for amateur wrestling and the fact they were both good old Minnesota boys. Before Perfect did tragically pass away, though, their paths did cross in 2002, and because Mr. Perfect had all the experience in the world, and that's what Brock Lesnar needed, well, WWE threw them together and told Brock, hey, learn from this guy, he's one of the best. It was a dark match that went down in January of that year, and once again, if you go on the internet, you can find this. They would also clash twice more in February, with the final score being Mr. Perfect 2, Brock Lesnar 1. None of these can be described as their most famous clash, though, because that happened 40,000 feet up in the air when they decided to have a fete on an airplane during the infamous plane ride from hell. They also went crashing into the emergency door at one point. Can you imagine? Number 3, Hugh Morris. The man who will forever be synonymous with Stone Cold Steve Austin looking at him and going, is it funny? Is it humorous? Hugh Morris in the early 2000s was a regular on the shows like Jacked and Metal and Velocity, wherever the hell's WWE used to call their B-shows. As we know, Hugh later on would go on to be a trainer with controversial results, but he must have shown something all the way back here too, because yes, he was paired with Brock Lesnar, and once more, was told to get him some more experience. The first of these came when, like we said earlier, the pair teamed to take on Billy and Chuck, and then they must have fallen out because of this, because a few days later, Hugh Morris actually beat Brock Lesnar. Now obviously events were very different at the time, but just the thought of this still makes me laugh. Hugh Morris, who now is doing whatever the hell he's doing, versus the guy who has got one of the most lucrative contracts in wrestling history. You may as well tell me that Mantor beat Brock Lesnar. Although honestly, if Brock Lesnar had come in the mid-90s, there's every chance that could happen. Number 2, the APA. This one isn't too shocking because Farouk and Bradshaw always used pretty well. And also, they were considered tough guys and gatekeepers to WWE, so most people had to pass through them. It meant on an episode of Heat in January 2002, Brock Lesnar and Ron Waterman were also put through this test, so Bradshaw and Farouk could say yay, or they could say nay. The rookies lost, obviously, and I suppose the fallout from this is that Brock got the thumbs up and Ron Waterman got the thumbs down, because by the time Brock was winning the WWE title from The Rock, Ron Waterman just got released. If you want to know the exact finish too, it was Waterman taking the clothesline from hell as Farouk and Brock Lesnar just battled it on the outside. As it turned out, they were going to meet soon again. This time, Brock Lesnar was teaming with The Big Show. And this wasn't much of a match, to be honest. They just all punched each other in the head for around about 5 minutes. Number 1, Rico. Rico beat everyone. For example, in 2002, he scored a victory over Ric Flippin' Flair. Then when he did it again, when he beat Brock Lesnar. The two would often go at it because they were standouts down in OVW, and because Jim Cornette was the booker here and he took a liking to Rico, well yeah, Rico won all the time. That meant in October 2001, the future hairdresser beat the future Universal Champion. When they were in dark matches on the main roster, management saw this very differently and Brock Lesnar would destroy Rico. But then when we were back on the other end, Rico would team up with Randy Orton and those two would beat Brock Lesnar and his long-term partner Ron Waters. Just for some more weird trivia, Lesnar would then team with Shelton Benjamin to beat Rico on the prototype, and we all know who the prototype went on to be, none other than John Cena. Finally, whereas Rico was a three-time OVW champion, Brock Lesnar never won that title, so I think we can now safely say that Rico was far better than the Beast. Just nobody tell him, I like my head being attached to my body.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.